Chapter 54. With a copy of this writ, sir. Here is the original, sir. Apostrophe, very well, gentlemen, very well, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, rising in person and wrath at the same time. You shall hear from my solicitor, gentlemen. Apostrophe, we shall be very happy to do so, apostrophe, said Fogg, rubbing his hands. Very, apostrophe, said Dodson, opening the door. And before I go, gentlemen, apostrophe, said the excited Mr. Pickwick, turning round on the landing, permit me to say, that of all the disgraceful and rascally proceedings, apostrophe, stay, sir, stay, apostrophe, interposed Dodson, with great politeness. Apostrophe, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Wicks. Apostrophe, sir, apostrophe, said the two clerks, appearing at the bottom of the stairs. I merely want you to hear what this gentleman says, apostrophe, replied Dodson. Pray, go on, sir, disgraceful and rascally proceedings, I think you said? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I did, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, thoroughly roused. I said, sir, that of all the disgraceful and rascally proceedings that ever were attempted, this is the most so. I repeat it, sir. Apostrophe, you hear that, Mr. Wicks, apostrophe, said Dodson. You won't forget these expressions, Mr. Jackson? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Fogg. Perhaps you would like to call us swindlers, sir, apostrophe, said Dodson. Pray do, sir, if you feel disposed. Now pray do, sir. Apostrophe, I do, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. You are swindlers. Apostrophe, very good, apostrophe, said Dodson. You can hear down there, I hope, Mr. Wicks? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, yes, sir, apostrophe, said Wicks. You had better come up a step or two higher, if you can't, apostrophe, added Mr. Fogg. Go on, sir, do go on. You had better call us thieves, sir, or perhaps you would like to assault one of us. Pray do it, sir, if you would. We will not make the smallest resistance. Pray do it, sir. Apostrophe, as Fogg put himself very temptingly within the reach of Mr. Pickwick's clenched fist, there is little doubt that that gentleman would have complied with his earnest entreaty, but for the interposition of Sam, who, hearing the dispute, emerged from the office, mounted the stairs, and seized his master by the arm. You just come away, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller. Battledoor and shuttlecock say worry good game, then you ain't the shuttlecock and two lawyers the battledoors, in which case it gets too exciting to be pleasant. Come away, sir. If you want to ease your mind by blowing up somebody, come out into the court and blow up me, but it's rather too expensive work to be carried on here. Apostrophe, and without the slightest ceremony, Mr. Weller hauled his master down the stairs, and down the court, and having safely deposited him in Cornhill, fell behind, prepared to follow whithersoever he should lead. Mr. Pickwick walked on abstractedly, crossed opposite the mansion house, and bent his steps up Cheapside. Sam began to wonder where they were going, when his master turned round, and said, Sam, I will go immediately to Mr. Perker's. Apostrophe, that's just exactly the worry place where you ought to have gone last night, sir, apostrophe, replied Mr. Weller. I think it is, Sam, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. I know it is, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller. Well, well, Sam, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick, we will go there at once. But first, as I have been rather ruffled, I should like a glass of brandy and water warm, Sam. Where can I have it, Sam? Apostrophe, Mr. Weller's knowledge of London was extensive and peculiar. He replied, without the slightest consideration, second court on the right-hand side last house. But one on the same side the way take the box as stands in the first fireplace, cause there ain't no leg in the middle o' the table, which all the others has, and it's worrying convenient. " Mr. Pickwick observed his valet's directions implicitly, and bidding Sam follow him, entered the tavern he had pointed out, where the hot brandy and water was speedily placed before him, while Mr. Weller, seated at a respectful distance, though at the same table with his master, was accommodated with a pint of porter. The room was one of a very homely description, and was apparently under the especial patronage of stage coachmen, for several gentlemen, who had all the appearance of belonging to that learned profession, were drinking and smoking in the different boxes. Among the number was one stout, red-faced, elderly man, in particular, seated in an opposite box, who attracted Mr. Pickwick's attention. The stout man was smoking with great vehemence, but between every half-dozen puffs, he took his pipe from his mouth, and looked first at Mr. Weller, and then at Mr. Pickwick. Then, he would bury in a quart pot, as much of his countenance as the dimensions of the quart pot admitted of its receiving, and take another look at Sam and Mr. Pickwick. Then he would take another half-dozen puffs with an air of profound meditation and look at them again. At last the stout man, putting up his legs on the seat, and leaning his back against the wall, began to puff at his pipe without leaving off at all, and to stare through the smoke at the newcomers, as if he had made up his mind, to see the most he could of them. At first the evolutions of the stout man had escaped Mr. Weller's observation, but by degrees, as he saw Mr. Pickwick's eyes every now and then turning towards him, he began to gaze in the same direction, at the same time shading his eyes with his hand, as if he partially recognized the object before him, and wished to make quite sure of its identity. His doubts were speedily dispelled, however, for the stout man having blown a thick cloud from his pipe, a hoarse voice, like some strange effort of ventriloquism, emerged from beneath the capacious shawls which muffled his throat and chest, and slowly uttered these sounds: "Why, Sammy! ". Who's that, Sam?" ". Inquired Mr. Pickwick. "Why, I wouldn't ha' believed it, sir," replied Mr. Weller, with astonished eyes. "It's the old un."
"Old one," said Mr. Pickwick.
"What old one?"
"My father, sir," replied Mr. Weller.
"How are you, my ancient?" And with this beautiful ebullition of filial affection, Mr. Weller made room on the seat beside him, for the stout man, who advanced pipe in mouth and pot in hand, to greet him.
"Why, Sammy," said the father, "I ha'n't seen you for 2 year and better."
"Nor more you have, old codger," replied the son.
"How's mother-in-law?"
"Why, I'll tell you what, Sammy," said Mr. Weller, senior, with much solemnity in his manner, "there never was a nicer woman as a widder than that 'ere second winter. Oh, mine a sweet creature she was, Sammy. All I can say on her now is that as she was such an uncommon pleasant widder, it's a great pity she ever changed her condition. She don't act as a wife, Sammy."
"Don't she, though?"
Inquired Mr. Weller, Jr. The elder Mr. Weller shook his head, as he replied with a sigh, "I've done it once too often, Sammy. I've done it once too often. Take example by your father, my boy, and be worry careful o' widders all your life, specially if they've kept a public house, Sammy." Having delivered this parental advice with great pathos, Mr. Weller, Sr., refilled his pipe from a tin box he carried in his pocket, and, lighting his fresh pipe from the ashes of the old one, commenced smoking at a great rate.
"Beg your pardon, sir," he said, renewing the subject, and addressing Mr. Pickwick, after a considerable pause, "Nothing personal, I hope, sir. I hope you ha'n't got a widder, sir."
"Not I," replied Mr. Pickwick, laughing. And while Mr. Pickwick laughed, Sam Weller informed his parent in a whisper of the relation in which he stood towards that gentleman.
Beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, Sr., taking off his hat. I hope you've no fault to find with Sammy, sir. Apostrophe, none whatever, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick.
Worry glad to hear it, sir, apostrophe replied the old man. I took a good deal o' pains with his education, sir. Let him run in the streets, when he was worry young, and shift for hisself. It's the only way, to make a boy sharp, sir.
Apostrophe, rather a dangerous process, I should imagine, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, with a smile.
And not a worry sure one, neither, apostrophe added Mr. Weller. I got regularly done the other day.
Apostrophe, no.
Apostrophe said his father.
I did, apostrophe said the son. And he proceeded to relate, in as few words as possible, how he had fallen a ready dupe to the stratagems of Job Trotter.
Mr. Weller, Sr., listened to the tale with the most profound attention, and, at its termination, said, "Weren't one o' these chaps slim and tall, with long hair, and the gift o' the gab were galloping?"
Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick did not quite understand the last item of description, but, comprehending the first, said yes, apostrophe at a venture.
"T' other's a black-haired chap in mulberry livery, with a wery large head?"
Apostrophe, yes, he is, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick and Sam, with great earnestness.
"Then I know where they are, and that's all about it," apostrophe said Mr. Weller. "They're at Ipswich, safe enough, them too."
Apostrophe, no.
Apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick.
"Fact," apostrophe said Mr. Weller, "and I'll tell you how I know it. I work an Ipswich coach now, and then for a friend o' mine. I worked down the worry day arter the night as you caught the rheumatic, and at the Black Boy at Chelmsford the worry place they'd come to I took him up, right through to Ipswich, where the man servant him in the mulberries told me they was a goin' to put up for a long time."
Apostrophe, I'll follow him, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. "We may as well see Ipswich as any other place.
I'll follow him."
Apostrophe, you're quite certain it was them, Governor?
Apostrophe inquired Mr. Weller, Jr.
"Quite, Sammy, quite," apostrophe replied his father, "for their appearances were singular. Besides that ear, I wondered to see the gentleman so familiar with his servant, and, more than that, as they sat in the front, right behind the box, I heard them laughing and saying how they'd done old fireworks."
Apostrophe, old who?
Apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick.
"Old fireworks, sir, by which, I've no doubt, they meant you, sir."
Apostrophe, there is nothing positively vile or atrocious in the appellation of old fireworks, apostrophe, but still it is by no means a respectful or flattering designation. The recollection of all the wrongs he had sustained at Jingle's hands had crowded on Mr. Pickwick's mind the moment Mr. Weller began to speak. It wanted but a feather to turn the scale, and old fireworks did it.
"I'll follow him," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, with an emphatic blow on the table.
"I shall work down to Ipswich the day arter tomorrow, sir," apostrophe said Mr. Weller the elder, apostrophe from the Bull in Whitechapel. "And if you really mean to go, you'd better go with me."
Apostrophe, so we had,
apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick.
"Very true. I can write to Barry, and tell him to meet me at Ipswich.
We will go with you.
But don't hurry away, Mr. Weller. Won't you take anything?"
Apostrophe, you're worry good, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. W. stopping short. "Perhaps a small glass of brandy to drink your health, and success to Sammy, sir, wouldn't be amiss."
Apostrophe, certainly not, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick.
"A glass of brandy here."
Apostrophe, the brandy was brought. And Mr. Weller, after pulling his hair to Mr. Pickwick, and nodding to Sam, jerked it down his capacious throat, as if it had been a small thimbleful.
"Well done, father," apostrophe said Sam. "Take care, old fellow, or you'll have a touch of your old complaint, the gout.
apostrophe, I found a sovereign cure for that, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, setting down the glass. A sovereign cure for the gout, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, hastily producing his notebook. What is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the gout, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller, the gout is a complaint as arises from too much ease and comfort. If ever you're attacked with the gout, sir, just you marry a widder as has got a good loud voice, with a decent notion of using it, and you'll never have the gout again. It's a capital prescription, sir. I takes it reglar, and I can warrant it to drive away any illness as is caused by too much jollity. Apostrophe having imparted this valuable secret, Mr. Weller drained his glass once more, produced a labored wink, sighed deeply, and slowly retired. Well, what do you think of what your father says, Sam? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick, with a smile. Think, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. Why, I think he's the victim of connubiality, as Bluebeard's domestic chaplain said, with a tear of pity, then he buried him. Apostrophe, there was no replying to this very apposite conclusion, and, therefore, Mr. Pickwick, after settling the reckoning, resumed his walk to Gray's Inn. By the time he reached its secluded groves, however, 8 o'clock had struck, and the unbroken stream of gentlemen in muddy high-lows, soiled white hats, and rusty apparel, who were pouring towards the different avenues of egress, warned him that the majority of the offices had closed for that day. After climbing two pairs of steep and dirty stairs, he found his anticipations were realized. Mr. Perker's outer door was closed, and the dead silence which followed Mr. Weller's repeated kicks thereat, announced that the officials had retired from business for the night. This is pleasant, Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. I shouldn't lose. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.